Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast, and we have a special show for you tonight. Valerie Steele, the legend, UK legend, is here tonight with me and Hammonds.
Executed.
I heard a fan offer free dipping dots if I blew it.
Wanted to have some fun, you know, execute.
I had bombs.
Stay as a team, execute, give 100%.
Dipping dots sound good.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is Brad with College Sportscast. I've got John Hammonds here with me. What's up, Hammonds?
What's up, my man?
So we have an exciting show here with you today. We have a very, very special guest here on College Sportscast. In my opinion, she is the greatest women's Kentucky basketball player of all time. And with that, we have Valerie Steele on with us. Valerie, it is so good to see you here at College Sportscast. We have been covering, I have been covering women's basketball, Kentucky women's basketball this year. And to have you on our show is a very, very special deal for me and for College Sportscast. So thank you for being with us.
Well, Brad, John, thank you so much. I don't normally do this a lot, but when I saw you all really have been, you know, really out there putting the word out on women's basketball, it's like, wow. I got to come in and, you know, support my Kentucky brothers. So it's good to be here.
Man, it's so good to have you on. Like I said, welcome to College Sportscast. You are an absolute legend at Kentucky, and to have you on the show is just fantastic. So just welcome. And this is going to be our version of our Sorry, but our new segment is called Lady Cats Blast, and there is no other cat that you would want on this show for the Lady Cats Blast, as in the past, blast in the past, than Valerie Steele. So,
yeah, you're just every now and then you're kind of breaking
very
up.
Very excited so I'm not to have you on. All right, Valerie.
Can you hear me? Okay?
Say you're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I've got you.
Okay. I just, every now and then it's kind of. Okay.
All right.
But yeah, you know, Brad, with this whole thing lately, of course.
All right.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
But lately, with this whole thing with the women's getting a new coach and all. You know, I started this hashtag, you know, return of the lady cats, and you could feel the excitement. And then they went out and got like, it seems like for a long time, it just didn't seem like UK was putting energy into the women. And it seems like this time with Kenny Brooks, right. They actually went out and really got a top notch. And I'm not sure what he's going to do. I see that he's bringing in players. He's, you know, he's out there. He took his team, you know, Virginia Tech 2023 to the Final Four. So I think all that just celebrated the 50th anniversary of women's basketball, and so many alumni came back. Like, women's basketball is at such a high that, you know, for us old ones, you guys keep calling me old, your mom and dad's out there. He is like, ah, it's like, finally, we get a little recognition. We didn't do it for the recognition, but it's kind of nice to see that all those sacrifices that we had to go through when it wasn't popular, when it wasn't, you know, a cool thing to do. Now we're seeing it through this next generation of women basketball players.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of wanted to start with you kind of in your playing days at Kentucky. And in the early days, you was around like when the NCAA finally adopted women's college basketball. And what were those days like early in your career?
Listen, you guys just keep making me feel older and older. It's like next thing you want to know, you're going to ask me, how did you make the will or something? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I actually, and I'm one of those fortunate players. I'm one of those fortunate players that I got a chance. I was in before Title IX, so I was pre-Title IX. As a kid, I was playing without any opportunities, no athletic scholarships for girls, no careers for women in sports, no Hall of Fames, none of that. I was just playing out of a passion. There were a lot of women before me that was doing that. And then I was fortunate enough, of course, in the 70s, Title IX comes around, and then I happened to be one of the very first players, and you know, that got athletic scholarships to big schools. And I looked up actually, and with my brother playing at Kentucky, it was a no-brainer for me. We just loved Kentucky because of his experience. I didn't have a clue about Kentucky basketball, the tradition, you know, all those championships, and I didn't know anything. I just knew we loved it for the football. And they were, we talked about it a little earlier, they were so powerful. Those right. were like, they could have won a national championship if they were on probation. And so I fell in love with right. it for that. So I'm lucky that I was in that era. And then, of course, I had to go overseas because there weren't any opportunities for women. I went overseas, played, and then came back. The ABL started, which I participated in, and then the WNBA. So I was one of these fortunate players. There's a lot of women players that didn't have the opportunity to experience having professional leagues in the States, and not only playing, but winning championships and MVPs and those kind of things in the professional leagues. And so now I'm here to witness all this, right. you know, interest in women's basketball, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the game today is completely different, of course, you know, but I mean, it's really gaining a lot of steam and interest. Matter of fact, you know, there was more viewers that watched the women's Final Four final game than the men's final game for the first time ever this year.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people get behind the numbers, and I think for women,
that's got to make you smile.
Well, see, this is the thing, though, Brad. Women have not, we don't get behind norms like that. And for me, personally speaking, it was like a social movement. I mean, we were doing what we love to do. It wasn't about people accepting us for who we are, who we were, or what we wanted to do. It was more just like being who you were, being authentic. Now, you know, with social media, with, you know, all these clicks and follows and all that, people validate what you're doing by the audience, how many millions of people are watching. But that can't be what drives you. That cannot, because eventually that, you know, the lights are going to turn off and you have to be with yourself. And so, yeah, it's great that, you know, I think it was 14.2 million. I forget the numbers. We all, you know, they're out there. But it's more important that I think for those women that were participating, when I got to UK, there was a handful of people coming to our games. There was a group called the Rowdy Bunch, which was like about
right.
50 male students that would sit and just, you know, and then I remember our first game at Rupp Arena. Of course, it was before the guys game. And so there were people, there were, you know, our little bit of fans and a few family members. But by that second game, and people started coming in at halftime because they would come in for the men's game. And I think we played Rutgers. I can't remember which team it was. But by halftime, I mean, we were just killing this team. And you know, we had players like Patty Joe Hedges. These are the top players in Kentucky at the time. Patty Joe Hedges, Lee Wise, Lori Edgington, Sharon Garland. Debbie Yao was the coach then. And, you know, she had recruited like the top players, and she knew that Kentucky would be a spot that would follow a champion. They had just, with the football team, they had gathered around the football team. Of course, it was coming off the 1978 men's championship, but women had never had the opportunity really to show what we had. And so, and I'm telling you, by the end of the year, we had people following us, and that's how Kentucky fans are. That's how the Big Blue Nation is. If you put out a good product, a good game, they're going to show up.
Well, so I got it. Your playing days, I got to ask you about the 82 SEC Tournament Championship. You guys won the very first in Kentucky women's history, and I got to ask you a little bit about it. I mean, what was that experience like winning the SEC championship?
Oh, I can remember like it was yesterday. First of all, as you said, you know, we played under the AIAW, the Intercollegiate Athletic Association for Women. That was the governing body because the NCAA didn't even want to recognize women's sports. And so with the AIAW, we played all state. So we played like Northern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Eastern, Moorhead, all the states. And then we'd have our championship within state. And then the NCAA came in 1982. And, you know, schools got to decide if they wanted to play on in one or both. And UK decided that we would go on with the NCAA. And we ended up playing in the first SEC. That's crazy to think about. That's really dating me. The first SEC championship. And to make it even more special, it was against Tennessee. And I remember that week. And it was held in Lexington. And so the buzz was just, you know, with each game, it just, the intensity kept building and building. And, you know, Memorial Coliseum, we would come in and there would be a line outside Memorial Coliseum coming in to watch the women play. It was crazy. And then, of course, we beat Pat Head Summit. She was Pat Head at the time. Legendary. Tennessee. It didn't get better than that for the first SEC women's basketball tournament.
I got a quick question for you, Valerie.
Right.
You know, I know you was in those playing days. Like who influenced you the most playing like going into college basketball and made you want to be a college basketball player?
That's a good question, John. Because nowadays, so many people, you know, always asking kids, who do you want to be like? Which player do you remember when I was growing up in the streets of Camden, New Jersey? And we'll talk about Camden. We got the pipeline from Camden, the UK, with all the basketball players and football players. But as a little girl, I mean, it's good to have a female role model, but I loved playing because I had five older brothers who played sports. And if I was in the house, I was going to have to be doing some type of housework. So it was, you know, my brothers got special treatment, so I figured I'd follow them around. And that's what I did. I was outside of Philadelphia, so my favorite team was the Philadelphia 76ers. And my favorite player, of course, was Dr. J. And so, but to say that I actually...
Dr. J, yeah.
Rock the baby.
yeah. Classic. So, you know... It's important to have role models, but again, it came from me. My brothers played, and so I had, again, five older brothers. My brother James played at the University of Maryland. He was Defensive Player of the Year in the ACC one year. He was with Lefty Drysdale. My other brothers played football, basketball. Art, of course, played at UK, and so I just tagged along with them, and it was funny. Because around here in the playgrounds, and Camden is a really poor city. In the 80s, it became really drug infested, so it was really dangerous. So my mom didn't want me out on the court with my brothers, but I had five big older brothers that protected me. And so for a long time, they wouldn't allow me to play with them, but I just kept coming back. I kept coming back until I got good enough where I became their little secret weapon. And we would... You know, they were all about, you know, they would get in the car and we would drive into different neighborhoods and they would win money on games. And so here they'd have me, their little sister, you know, in the car with them. And we'd find a place. And, you know, these guys, I hop out of the car with my little long braids. And, you know, the guys are like, what are you doing with your little sister? Come on, dude, man. And then so they'd play with them. And then they would bet money on the games. And, boy, we would wear them out. And so that's how my game got so good. So, and thanks to art, because I always really, my hero was art. I mean, I looked up to him.
Right. That's great stories. So at Kentucky, I don't know if Kentucky fans know this or realize this, but Valerie here is still the all-time leading scorer and rebounder for the University of Kentucky, men's and women's, just so everybody knows.
Hey, Brad, that's kind of, you know, with this whole thing now with Caitlin Clark, when she was, you know, chasing this record. Records are meant to be broken, records, first of all. They don't mean a lot besides, I think, it's a reflection of your integrity and your tenacity and all that. But besides that, records are meant to be broken. But those, they hit Caitlin Clark beat a certain record, but like Lynette Woodard, I don't know if you're familiar with her. Lynette Woodard was the first one to play with the Harlem Globetrotters. An incredible player. I mean, phenomenal, a real true goat. Pearl Moore. All these players, their records weren't conserved because it was pre-NCAA.
Right.
Kind of hard. I mean, my record, you can say it's, you know, it's there 4 years. And now, you know, with my buddy Calipari, who I love Coach Cal, he's the best. Look, you guys, let's not go into there. But, you know, with the one and done, it kind of preserves those records, but also there's no comparison. The ball was bigger, so with a smaller size ball, the shot would have had more control. 3-point line, I don't think any scorer, if you're going to give me 3 points, everybody will be shooting from outside. Instead, we didn't have that. And then the shot clock really made a difference. So the game was sped up where you would, you know, you get to score a lot more. So there's no comparisons, I don't think. And there's really no need to, you know, this whole concept of GOAT. I mean, the greatest of all times, generational, whatever they say. Generational means it has to pass the test of time. So, you know, 40 years, over 40 years holding a record, that's phenomenal. But let's give it some time for these younger players coming in and give them the time and the space just to do what they love doing.
Right. Yeah, so after your Kentucky days, you did play professional ball in a time where there was no professional ball in the United States.
Yeah.
For women.
Again, I was, when you are doing your passion, you're living your dream, you're going to pursue it wherever. It doesn't matter. You know, and you're not sidetracked by anything externally that's going on. And so when I finished up my career, most people don't know, I didn't have enough credits to graduate in 83 because I'm an ag animal science major. And so all my production classes were lab classes in the afternoon during practice time. So I never got a chance to finish those up. So when I ended up leaving Kentucky in 83, I was missing credits to graduate. And my mom wanted me to stay, finish up, maybe get into vet school, because those were those were things that were solid. You could, you know, why are you going overseas? And I just felt like I needed to, you know, I still love playing. And so during my last few games, some agents from Italy came over, and I was thinking about going to Japan because the UK had traveled, the Lady Cats had gone to Japan three summers in a row, and they had professional leagues. But when these Italian agents came over, they're like, you know, we'd love to have you come over. And so I said, you know, I'll give it a try 1 year. And that 1 year turned in, I was in Italy from 83 until 95 when I returned, you know, back to the States. But it was probably the best decision I made in my life. And when you think about a young teenage girl back in the 80s, going to Italy, not knowing the language, not knowing the culture. You know, we talk about it now with Brittany Griner, what happened to her. And these players are making millions of dollars. I can tell you, we weren't making millions of dollars, you know, taking those sacrifices, but it paid off. You know, it's, I'm still here. Some of the things that I shouldn't be here, but some of the things that happened, but I think it's all about perseverance. And so, yeah, I went over. And then when I came back, I had actually retired and I was going to start a family. So I just retired and came back to the United States.
So I know you played professional ball. I know you played college ball. So I got a quick question. Who was your favorite player? I wouldn't say favorite player, but who was one player that you loved to enjoy to play against? Like, when you was playing professional in college ball?
College. Oh, man, I hate saying favorites. There's so many. I mean, Cynthia Cooper is one of most people. You guys won't even know any of these names. What gets me is that, you know, all these sports people that now that are making comparisons for Caitlin Clark, you know, they'll give you the typical, you know, even Maya Moore, that's even young. But when you go back to Lynette Water, or Cynthia Cooper, or Pam McGee, or, you know, these are all names that you won't even recognize. Teresa Edwards, you know, Nancy Lieberman, Ann Myers. I can go, but keep going back. Pat O'Neill. Yeah. And you know, it's, there's so many that you can't, Bev Smith. I can just, Janet Lawrence. There's so many that, and as far as playing against another player, you know, you want to play against the best, but at the same time, you know, that's when you're going to get the worst beating of all. So, but I was fortunate to play with a lot of those Hall of Fames. And then professionally, I got to play with Dawn Staley, Nicky McCray, Shamiko Hoseclaws, all these names that people won't recognize. But if you're in Cheryl Swoops, Tina Thompson, Teresa Weatherspoon, I could go on and on. And see, this is something that, this is an experience that I've lived. So it's not like just because everybody's jumped on the bandwagon, oh, okay, we better know these players. It's like, no, there were many, 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 many great players.
Yeah. And then you got to come home to the States. And you started the ABL, helped start, played in the ABL, and went on and played your first year, the first year of the WNBA as well, and coached in the WNBA as well, I think, if I read right. I'm pretty sure you did. You know, what was it like?
Yeah, the first year I didn't. This one, when I came back to the States in 1996, the women's Olympic team was a powerhouse. That was with Dawn Staley, Nicky McCray, Shamiko Hoseclaws, Cheryl Swoops, Rebecca Lobo. Is it Lobo? I always call her Hobo, but no, I'm just kidding. Rebecca Lobo on UConn. I forget. I mean, that team.
Lobo.
Jennifer Daisy. You know, that's just there. It was they toured the world, and Nike sponsored them because they wanted them to just focus in on basketball. And they ended up going undefeated. Of course, the 1996 Olympics, they won. Venus Lacey. I'm just thinking about Ruthie Bolton. They were all on that team. And so people were like, we got the best players in the whole entire world. Look at these women just representing the United States. And we were all going back overseas once it was all done. And so, three people out in California decided, out from Stanford, because Stanford was really a hotbed for women's basketball. They decided that they would start the American Basketball League. And at the same time, the WNBA was thinking, you know, or the NBA was like, well, maybe the interest was building just like it is now. And so they were thinking maybe we should get involved in some way. So the ABL went on and started a league that was during the normal playing season from, you know, the fall until the spring, paid, you know, really good pay, benefits, all those kind of things. And then that summer in 1997, the WNBA played just like the little short 3 month when the guys weren't in the gym, they started the WNBA. And so I ended up playing right. with the ABL and ended up winning championships with them. And then the ABL folded after a couple of years and the NBA just took over. The WNBA took over the whole professional women's. And so when that happened in 1998, I ended up playing 1 year.
Yeah.
I had my ACL, but I played a year with the Washington Mystics. I coached with them and then I coached with the Orlando Miracle. So got a chance to do that as well.
That's cool. I know you was around when it first started with the WNBA, and I know you won a couple of championships in the ABL. The only 2 years that there was an ABL, I think, yeah. Your team won the championship.
Yeah, and that the ABL, again, when you think about it, and most people don't even speak about it, the American Basketball League. The American Basketball League had confirmation. All that whole Olympic team initially had committed to the ABL. And then when the WNBA came in and said they were going to, you know, start a league, then three of those players ended up not coming to the ABL, but Dawn Staley, Nikki McCray, Teresa Edwards, all these players, like nine of the top 12 players were in the ABL to start this league. And so I just, you know, for me, I always say I'm the Forrest Gump of women's basketball because I always seem to end up like right in the right spot for historically. Like at UK, I was there, you know, 78 when they won the championship. Yeah. I was clueless about Kentucky tradition. But there I am. Then when the ABL came along, I was right there for that. And I was able to, you know, be a big part of that. And then when the WNBA came around, I was there for that. So I've just been really fortunate about how, you know, my passion for basketball has just steered where I go.
That's a cool story. I mean, just thinking that you was fortunate every time along those steps, because you were right there, it seems, you know, when the NCAA started, I mean, when the WNBA started, I mean, you know, you were right there, you know, so.
And Brad, when you think about, like, most people don't know the history.
We've talked a little bit about Kate.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think we're on a little delay here, but most people don't recognize with, the history of women's basketball at the University of Kentucky. First of all, and this is going to be a little history lesson because, you know, I got my doctorate work is in sports humanities, so I only know this because I've studied it. But when basketball was invented in 1892, it was invented mainly, it wasn't like the male sport. Football and baseball was the big sports, and this was a sport you could play indoors. And so it was the first sport invented in the United States, and women and men started playing at the same time. So in colleges across the United States, and there were mostly women colleges, and, you know, because women weren't allowed to go to the main colleges. And so, but the game of basketball was adopted by men and women at the same time. And of course it got to Kentucky, Lexington, and the men and the women were playing at the turn of the century, 1900s, early 1900s. The women's team, and don't say this too loud, the women's team was way better than the guys' team. Yeah, I know you guys don't want to hear that. Look, go check it out. But UK's women's team, they were phenomenal. They were just kicking butt. And by 1920s, with Sarah Blanding, some people know her. She has a building, the Landing Towers at the University of Kentucky. She was the first dean of women at the University of Kentucky, but she was also the captain of the team in the 1920s, and they were like the champions of the South. They were winning. The men's team was doing okay, but it was nothing like the women's team. And then in 1920s, male administrators said that sports were too strenuous for women. And so what they do, they canceled all sports for women across the United States. And then Title IX came in 50 years later. And so these programs were reinstated. Right. University of Kentucky, Tennessee, all of them were reinstated. But women were still playing. The University of Kentucky, when they reinstated, and Sue Feimster was the athletic director for women at Kentucky in the late 60s, 70s. She's the one that petitioned Otis Singletary to make sure that women had varsity sports. And so when she did that, University of Kentucky was the first to hire a full-time women's coach, Debbie Yao. Some of you may know her. Debbie Yao was Kay Yao's younger sister. You may know Kay Yao better because Kay Yao is like the legendary coach from North Carolina State. I'm giving you guys a little history lesson in women's sports.
Right.
And Kay Yao, yeah. Her younger sister was Debbie Yao. Debbie Yao eventually recruited me. Sue Feimster also hired the first athletic director just for the women, Mimi Porter. And then Coach Yao ended up becoming the first female athletic director at a division, at like a Power Five. She was at the University of Maryland. She was at the North Carolina State winning championships. Pull her up, Debbie Yao. She's incredible. So when I tell you, like, I kind of, it's like divine intervention. I was surrounded with all this, like at the University of Kentucky. Now take it, UK has become a traditional powerhouse for men's basketball. But when I say the return of the Lady Cats, the return of the Wildcats, let's just combine it. And this history is so amazing. And now with women's basketball being where it is today, why don't we just build up both of these programs? And like UConn did, right? UConn has the women and the men. There was another program that the women and the men were with. Why can't we do that at Kentucky? And I know, you know, when I saw the interest that Kenny Brooks.
I think that we can.
Can we do it? I think, and you know, I think we can.
I really do think that we can, yes.
And, you know, it was kind of funny. I was telling you guys, you know, when Kenny Brooks came in, I really don't follow. It seems like I do, but I have to because of, you know, my history. I have to follow women's with the status of women's sports because it's important for us. But when, you know, this whole thing, when they were starting to get a new, you know, bring in a coach and, you know, when they Kenny Brooks' name came out, I think that interest just picked up and I was supposed to be on, I'm not going to say the name of it, but it was an ESPN show that Monday. And the Monday right before Coach Cal had decided that he was leaving or there was some, you know, trouble in the home, then it got kind of kicked back. Like, no, all the interest again, it went from like Kenny Brooks, what's going on with the Lady Cats? Look at, you know, bringing in all these amazing players and his press conference was amazing. So then again, the focus got turned away because, you know, Coach Cal, what's going on there? So then, okay, that passes some. And then, you know, they're going through all these different coaches that they're trying to get. No, this one doesn't want to come. This one. Then the whole thing with Mark Pope, and it's like, all the focus, again, seems like it's being taken away from the women. But if we can do this together, and I think Mark Pope, I think he's going to be good for the women's program as well, because why not? Why can't we build them both together?
And I think, too, on that, like you're saying, building
that we can.
Building the program, you know, to the name in front of the jersey, like, I get where everybody was saying, you know, well, it's the NBA now. Everybody wants what's hot, you know, the thing that's relevant nowadays. But I think with this new hire with Mark Pope, I think you're going to see a little bit of old school Kentucky with when it was when Rick Pitino was there. And I think that's what Kentucky needs at this point, in my opinion.
But, you know, and John, that's a great point. For me, Coach Cal, he's always, for me, he was honest. He, when he came in, he told us exactly what was going to happen. And he did exactly what he said. He brought in all these amazing players. He won the championship in 2012. Everybody's excited. The game changed with the pandemic. And, you know, the game has changed. The game has changed. It's become, you know, money always gets involved and it changes things. But the core of it is, and what's coming from the fans and the Big Blue Nation, you want to gather around something that you just have a passion about. Like it's, and I think that's, it's been missing for a while now. And it's not just about the winning, but it's about, just me and my personal, like as a college student, those 4 years at Kentucky, what my brother went through, that love, that passion he had for Kentucky, that's what we want. It's not about, like, it's good seeing guys come in and go out. And I'm telling you, Coach Cal did, he was honest. What he did was amazing. And he's one of the nicest guys that I know. And I wish him the best wherever he goes. But I think what Mark Pope represents is like that true Kentucky tradition. It doesn't matter. Like, stop putting people on a pedestal and remember that, like, we're the Big Blue. It doesn't matter. And, you know, we want these guys to do well. We want these players to do well because they should. But it's got to be something other than, you know, me. It's got to be something bigger than that.
Yeah, I agree with you. So I was at the Kenny Brooks press conference and got to ask a couple of questions at the press conference. There's been a lot of buzz about him, and the press conference was very impressive. I agree. I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts are on Kenny Brooks and where the Kentucky women's basketball program is headed.
Well, again, I mean, John just said it. We got to stop thinking that we need a savior because it's going to be a collective effort. It's not going to be, you have to have a good leader that's going to, you know, be able to guide and do certain things and understand the game and the status and how things work now. Things that worked before are not going to necessarily work now. So, but we can't put all our, it has to be collective. And so, and we don't know, you know, he's going to get here, give him some time. I look at, you know, Kyra Elsie, I when they hired her, if you look at Kyra's record, really, she won an SEC in 3 or 4 years. And she was put in a position that was really, 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 really difficult. She, when the former coach had left, it was like a month before the season was going to start. Those were none of her players. She had never coached, you know, at that level. And in a matter of 3 or 4 years, she's out and she's won a, you know, she won an SEC championship in 3 years or 2 years that she was there as head coach. That's pretty impressive.
And Dawn Staley at that. She beat Dawn Staley.
Like, exactly. Yeah. And you talk about that. She's one of the, because Dawn Staley has lost three times in the last 2 years. And guess what? We happen to be one of them teams.
Kentucky. Yeah, exactly. One of them is Kentucky, right? Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know,
100%. I agree with you.
It's easy to look. So let's give it some time. Let's get around. And what I see with Kenny Brooks, I hope, and Dawn Staley was good at doing this, you have to recognize, you have to honor the past, celebrate the present, and promote the future. You can't, just because you're in this position at this little time period in Kentucky's history, you're here, you can't erase the past and you can't look too far in the future. And so you have to recognize what Dawn did. She brought back all these, the players, recognized them. And when we just celebrate our 50th anniversary, it was a record number of alumni. You gotta have that kind of support to really get a program and the tradition. You can't just, you know, if a coach is coming in thinking, oh, I'm going to, this is going to be my, you know, this is my team. This is, no, this program, and that's Kentucky basketball. Kentucky basketball will exist and be fired up because Brad, you and John, as little kids, you're in it. Like, that's not some coach coming in doing that or some player. Whoever comes into that program, puts that shirt on, that jersey, we're going to go with it.
I know you talked about your brother some. I just kind of want to get a feel for what was it like in the 70s when your brother was playing for Kentucky football? Like, what was the vibe there?
Oh, it was magical. You guys should remember, John, we're from Camden, New Jersey. It's a little teeny town right across the bridge from Philadelphia. Poverty, destitute, crime, all that. For him and Derek Ramsey, of course, was the quarterback. They won championships and state championships in football and basketball. For them to then go to Kentucky and not only just go to Kentucky, but to have the support. And this is where the Big Blue Nation comes in. Because once you're in Kentucky and people embrace you, oh, it's over. And when I came in, my brother had already established, so we were already Big Blue. And you'd say, how did that happen? Because that's the vibes. And then I came into some really good people, my teammates, Patty Joe Hedges, who, by the way, guys, is UK's all-time leading assist, men or women. Don't put your mouth, put your jaws back. Patty Joe Hedges, look her up. Yeah. I have to recognize her, right? Because if it wasn't for her and Lee Wise, she was the Farrah Fawcett at the time, beautiful. Lee was with Transylvania, with their as an associate, as a consultant. Lee Wise, one of the top scorers in Kentucky. Lori Edgington, just these were in Sharon Garland. They were all just good people, but they loved Kentucky. Like, they would die. We bleed blue, as they say. And so that's the kind of passion that we need now. And I think Kentucky fans are, they just want somebody that's genuine and that really, like, has that kind of passion. I think, you know, I know we're talking about the women right now, but Mark Pope, it's just good to see, like, the University of Kentucky allowing, giving the opportunity to a former player. That's the other thing that people aren't talking about. I've tried to get in. I wanted to be involved in that program, coaching and all that, and have been turned down numerous times. But it doesn't take away my passion. Like, UK, that's me. But I think Mark, he just represents, and I think a lot of the players, former players, want him to do well, because why not? Why not one of our own?
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Speaking of that, Mark Pope's press conference is in less than an hour. Yeah. And we're talking about both of these teams, like, doing this together, men's and women, but at least towards the, if they Kenny Brooks, how cool would it be if they brought out Kenny Brooks at the press conference today towards the end?
And you know what? It may happen. But, and you know what? But this other thing. So when we came in, it was, you know, it was all about the men's team. We were, but it really didn't, like, we had to establish that respect. You know, we had to gain that respect. But the fans, when they saw we could play and what we represented, it wasn't an easy, I mean, it wasn't a difficult, you know, convince. They were on board right away. And so that's why I'm sure it can happen right now. I mean, why not? Well, and I just saw Mark has, you know, four daughters. So he understands that athleticism, gender doesn't have anything to do with what type of athlete you are and what type, if you can entertain and you can, you know, because it doesn't matter.
The one thing I really noticed about Mark,
all four, all four of his daughters are athletic daughters. I mean, they're all athletic too. Basketball, volleyball, different sports.
Hey, why didn't we ask Mark to be the women's coach? I'm joking.
There was a video posted of him. A few minutes ago that Matt Jones had, you know, he was out taking pictures down the street with all these fans. Like, he was just going down the whole street taking pictures with people. Like, Kentucky hasn't had this in a long time. Like, it's a breath of fresh air.
But you know what, John? That's not the takeaway. Yeah. Coach Cal, I swear, every time I would come back to UK, this last time I was there, Mayor Gordon, we went to his one of the practices, and he stopped the practice and had us, you know, my brothers from Camden, DJ and Aaron, you know, stopped practice to recognize us. Coach Cal is one of the most genuine, awesome people that I know. And so it's not taken away from him, but I think what we need right now is this connection. Like, I think a lot of people put Cal on and he didn't do that, but people tend to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think with Mark Pope coming in, it's almost like you remember him from 1996. You know, he's like, he's one of us. He's going to, and please the man some time. The same with Kenny Brooks. Give him some time.
Yep.
You know, don't put, I mean, you got to have pressure because that's athletics. But give them time to do what they need to do. And let's hope the two of them come together. And in a, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, we're both in the Final Four, maybe even winning championships, putting new banners up. Maybe there might be a player, you know, my record, hopefully not. No, I'm just kidding. You know, maybe that record will be, you know, broken, whatever. Not Patty Joe's record of assists, though. That's never going to be broken. But, it's an exciting time, I think, for the Big Blue Nation.
And I was kind of listening to the Tony Delt podcast the other day with Cameron Mills and Jeff Shepard, and they said what a treat it would be to come back at your dream school and coach your favorite team that you love and win a championship as a player, but then win a championship as a coach. Like, I don't think you could just write any better story than that.
Yeah, but let's give him some, because then that just builds the pressure. And
it adds to it. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get
you
that.
You know what I mean? We put all that expectation, and that's what he wants. We know that's what he wants, and hopefully, yeah. I believe that's what Kenny.
I mean, that's his goal. Yeah.
I mean, you got to have it. But let's not be on that, like, because there were so many people that, you know, it's been so long that we've kind of gotten complacent, I think. And for me, it was like, I'm like, why Kentucky fans? Coach Cal said what he was going to do. He gets the best players in there, entertain. And then, you know, it was like this whole, the love story just fell apart. And, you know, it was sometimes it's just time to go. Again, it's not about the individuals that come and become members of
I think
this.
It was time for a change. I believe it was time for a change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think Lifetime, you know, that wasn't – everybody evolves. You have to. I mean, Adolph Rupp eventually had to, you know, turn aside Joe Hall, Eddie Sutton, Tubby Smith, Rick Pitino. You know, it's like –
yeah.
You evolve, you know, you leave your mark, and just like players, and hopefully you leave a mark, like what you did, your energy.
And I say this about Adolph Rupp too, though. Adolph Rupp was kind of in an era where it was really hard to recruit kids at the time. Like, it was a difficult time during that time, and to what he accomplished, Adolph Rupp, and to where we are now is unbelievable from a basketball perspective, and it's just how the game has changed and whatnot.
Yeah, it's the game is so much, not the game. The game is not different, but what surrounds the game and the promotions,
and the money,
all together different. I was telling Brad before you came on, John, I was listening to Rex Chapman Because, you know, everybody's like, you know, these players are getting all this money. They're getting paid. Now, you know, $1 million here, you know, even the women. And Rex Chapman was having, because his book just came out, and he was talking about in 1988 when, you know, he was going to leave a year early, and everybody, they wanted, Rex, please stay. And he says they offered him, like, I think it was 700 or 800,000. That's like, what? He's like, yeah, we were getting paid any, you know, it was under the table, but it was happening. But I didn't know it to that extent. And so, and he's talking about it. So, you know, when people talk about, you know, the players are getting paid now, and there's no loyalty. You have to be able to work the system the way you need to. And I think, again, it has to be, it can't come from a love of money. Money is not bad. We all need it.
Yep.
But you have to have something else that's going to drive you, that makes you want, like something that you would run through a wall for. And that's what my teammates, I would run through a wall for. I always name them. Debbie Yao, I would run through a wall. You know, that's the kind of, for the University of Kentucky, you know, now I've been inducted into the UK Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame, which is the highest, Hall of Fame at the University of Kentucky. Just recently, this past year, I was inducted into the College of Ag. Yes, Ag. And those are more, those things mean way more to me than the records, because it recognizes me as Valerie Still, the person, and Valerie Still, you know, my love that I have for Kentucky.
And that was that your degree? Was agriculture?
Yes, I wanted to be a vet. And everybody, you will not, I'm probably the most famous College of Ag person at UK, because athletes don't do that. First, the college is on all the way on the other side of campus, so you got to take a bus for your classes. Then your classes, like your lab classes, are in the afternoon. So most athletes are not in the College of Ag, but because that's what I loved, animals, I did it. And they just recognized
Valerie Still was there, though. The Ag.
Yeah. I'm a College of Ag person.
Speaking of your classes and stuff, Valerie, we have PJ Ward here that was asking whether or not you finished your degree. You've already told me this answer.
That's a player. That's my sys leader trying to call me out on not finishing my degree when I was in college. It took me, but again, I I'm the type of person, you can tell me no 1,000 times, I'm just going to keep going. And so I went overseas. It took me 20 years, because that 1 year I thought I was going to come back. I ended up playing in Italy, All-Stars, championships, all that. I didn't come back for another 15 years. Then the ABL started, WNBA started. Once that was all done, I returned to the University of Kentucky in 2000. And I spent one semester. My son was just like 4 or 5 years old. We rented an apartment down on Man of War. And the university, the college, UK paid for my schooling to get my degree, which means so much to me. And I finished that semester and I graduated in 2000. And so, and that was the best thing that I could have done. Come back to UK, get my degree. And so, and you know, when you think about these one and dones, I know some of these guys come back, but college, it's more than just the sports. It's like that whole environment. Like, that's what, and my PJ, we're on a chat now, all my teammates and Coach Yao, she's not Coach Yao anymore, but we call her Coach Yao, and we stay in contact. That's what college is about. It's about those relationships that you build with people and you carry them on for a lifetime. So I got my degree and I got my master's degree and finishing up a PhD. So there, PJ. She always put me on the spot.
I had to bring it up since somebody was asking, and you had already told me that you did. So, For the viewers, I thought we'd do that. And John's already brought up your brother. I wanted to bring up that in 70, I believe it's 76, Kentucky football won the SEC championship that year. the SEC regular season title.
You know what, Brad? They consistently, that 4 years that they were there, I would argue with anybody. And, you know, Kentucky now, they have these multi-million budgets for marketing and promotion. That period, and not because it's my brother, but I would put that 4 years when he was there against any four-year block. That, along with UK's basketball, that had to be like a golden age of UK sports right there, because basketball and football at that level. Of course, we had, you know, the championship with, James Lee, Goose. Jack and Kyle Mason. Wow, what kind of period? Was that not crazy or what? That's what we want now.
Yeah, Rick with Rowley, women, Mike Phillips. Rick Rowley. I know them all. I know Mike.
Jay Tyler. Look, we can.
Yeah. I mean, they.
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't know if they still do this now, but you know how they used to give nicknames. So, you know, you had the run, the rough runts. You had the fiddling five. You had the who else? The unforgettables, the untouchables, the comeback cats. Yeah. That's what, you know, we want.
Right.
It's fun because, you know, sports is so important for us. It's a time with all the craziness that goes on in the United States or around us and all the craziness they give us. Sports is a place where we can just come together and kind of chill, relax, come together. You know, it's just play. It's not, you know, and I think if we get back to that somewhat, you know, people really need an outlet where they can feel good about themselves and their team, and they're, you know, it's just nice and easy.
Yeah, so, you know, with the hire of Mark Pope and the new hire of Kenny Brooks and the optimism now with the change in college and Kentucky sports, I mean, do you feel like we're kind of getting back to some of those cultures and family and traditions and things of that nature?
Well, I've just been watching it, you know, I don't own a TV, and it does me well, but I don't miss anything because all my, you know, I've had people just bombarding me. And now following this, you know, there was a lot of tension there for a while, you know, with the whole Cal thing. That was like a negative vibe. But every time there's, when you're pushed out of your comfort zone, you're always going to get that kind of whirlpool, like that energy that's kind of, but if you can hold on, and just, you know, go with the flow, eventually good things come out of, you know, these kind of periods where it seems like it's upheaval and things aren't. And I think it just feels, this just, and again, we can't get like so out of it that we don't see a reality, but it just feels like this period for UK may be a good one for us. What do you guys feel? I mean, I've done all the talking. What are you, how do you all feel about it?
I'm pretty excited. I think that there's, you know, for me, I feel like that we're kind of getting back to some of our, you know, culture and traditions, and going kind of feels like back to the future. I don't know, kind of in a way, you know, if, just to put a reference out there, a movie reference, and, you know, I the buzz around the programs, including the women's program, I think Kenny Brooks has the chance to come here and bring players and traditions that has been a while since maybe your age, you know, your group, the early 80s and stuff, or mid 90s or something. You know, it's been a long time, I think, for the women's basketball program. And I think the fans are starving for that as well.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I feel like we're in a good spot.
And I think, you know, the other thing is always, you know, with the women's program, because I keep an eye somewhat, you know, now you have these Title IX. I just was reading something about, you know, an issue with the swim coach. And, you know, a couple of years ago, it was Riley Gaines. And and then there was something else, a Title IX. You have to be mindful of the tension you put into the women's programs. And it's not about being equal. Like, you know, we don't want to be equal to the men's. We want to, like, I'm not striving to have what a man has. I want perfection. I'm striving for something, for me to be the best that I can be. And so it's not about being equal, but the respect and all. And when you have those kind of things coming out, you have to step and you look at where the women's program has gotten. You have to reflect on that. And with a critical eye, you have to say, okay, why is this happening at the University of Kentucky? A powerful school. Why is the women's program, you know, in this condition, or why are we having these issues of Title IX? Maybe they're true, maybe they're not, but what do we need to do to change that? And I think one of the steps was this hire with Kevin Brooks. I think that was, don't get me wrong, I wanted a female coach. I'm all like, but I was even thinking, man, if we could get Gino Auriemma, boy, he could come and change the program around. So it's not about, you know, Gino, like, he's in the Final Four with the team that he had. So it's more about, like, giving that respect, just like you do for the men. It's not about being equal. I don't want to be equal. It's about the respect and the honor and putting that same type of energy. And hopefully that's what's going on here. It's still to be seen with Kenny Brooks, but you heard the press conference. He sounded like he's on it, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm excited about the men's that it's coming up here pretty quick.
Yeah.
So we'll probably try to wrap this up. But I wanted to say to you, Valerie, this is an absolute honor for me to do this. I have my sister played ball in the 80s. She didn't graduate high school till 89. But she started playing around the time that you were playing at Kentucky, like 82, 83. And for me, I knew who you were by the time I was like 11, 12 years old, something like that. And I've known about you and your brother and Art and my entire life, it seems now. And I just appreciate it. It's an honor to have you on the show.
Yeah, that's how I feel. And, you know, my dad, we used to tell stories all the time. It's funny. We'll be going to UK football games and he'll say, you know, you remember that time? He said, I'm going to tell you about that time Art Steele did this or Art Steele did that. He said, that was when I was younger. And like, it's just the stories and the memories of those moments. Like, you'll never forget those moments as long as you live. And, you know, especially with a father son type thing, like it's, and I know that he's your brother and you probably look up to him really big time. So, you know, he's a legend in his own right, just like you are.
But you know what I appreciate about
him? I mean, when you were growing up, he might've been a nuisance. I'm not sure.
I was a nuisance. I was I was like, please. What I'd like to say, what I really appreciate about the two of you is that, you know, it's going to take energies. Like, I believe we're just energy. I'm an energy in this body, you know, a female, tall, whatever. You guys are energies in, you know, male bodies, male mentality. It's going to take individuals like you all. You don't have to convince us. We don't need your validation, but to get, you know, to give us the support. To get out there and recognize us as just athletes that you want to see. That's what happened with, you know, South Carolina and, you know, Iowa or this, the women this year. But it's going to take people like you,
right,
who are diehard, right, that you know basketball. It doesn't matter what gender you are. You know good basketball when you see it. And that's what we need. So not just, you know, this is the Big Blue Nation. You know, it's the return of the Lady Cats, the return of the Wildcats. Let's do it together. Let's get these programs and let's rock. Memorial Coliseum is being renovated. There's only 6,500 seats. We should have that place packed every night. Every night. And you, if you don't have a seat,
every,
if you don't have
every seat, night, every night, yeah, I agree with you.
Be a part of history. I, you know, if I was in Washington, I'd be there. Yeah.
I know.
So hopefully it's going
to
be a.
And I'll be honest with you, I can't wait to be there. I'm credentialed with you, so I will be there, and I can't wait to be there next season and to be a part of this. I've been a part of women's basketball all my life. Like I said, my sister played. She was, when she left high school, at her high school, she was the all-time leading scorer. I mean, I've been a part of women's basketball all my life, and I loved covering it. I love covering the women's, Kentucky women's. It's great to do. I get a juice out of it. I love it. And was at the SEC tournament this year, and it was just,
yeah,
fantastic. One of life's, and I can't wait to be there at Memorial. I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be so cool. And let's hold off for the generational talent, whatever they say, or the GOAT. I mean, us older players, yeah, we put in the time. So let's save those monikers and that recognition and those titles for people that have. And I pay my tributes to the women that played that we don't even know their names. They played way before I was even born so that I could step on a court and be here today and represent. So let's save all those titles and just let's enjoy the game.
Well, with that said, your history has been a long time in this game and at Kentucky. And if I was to say that somebody is the greatest at Kentucky, it would be you.
Wow, I appreciate that.
I know that people she's a really great
player. Yeah, I feel the same way about it.
Well, that's, you know, and for me, it's such an honor. Like, I didn't go into UK even knowing about, you know, that record, but to hold those records at a place like the University of Kentucky, which, you know, objectively speaking, is the most dominant, powerful college tradition in the world. I mean, you can put them up against Duke or North Carolina or UCLA, and Cal has a part of that because – the NBA players that are in the UK NBA players. So it's all a part. And in the end, we'll see that evolution. Like, it's all together part of this tradition, the dynasty. And so for me to be like that cornerstone, that little teeny cornerstone, wow. I mean, who wouldn't just be excited about that? So I appreciate you all recognizing that.
Yep.
Hey, are you guys?
Appreciate you being here with us today.
Are you guys doing the Mark Pope? Is it coming on here? Are
I think it's on WLEX. I'm not for certain, but I believe it is.
No,
I think
I'm not gonna have it on here. No, but I'm gonna watch it.
I think there's a few people, Valerie, that is live streaming it on Twitter.
Oh, I'll be watching.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about it? I mean, before we leave.
I think it'll be interesting to see what he has to say.
Oh, I'm excited for football.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love his energy. I love his personality. He loves
who's
Kentucky.
Coming back?
Hey, like deeply
who's coming
loves
back?
Kentucky. And
who's coming back? Brad.
And
I think he got
who's coming though. Back?
Yeah.
Come on,
we got another team down.
Yeah.
Who's in this year? What are we building on? Where what are we doing?
Oh, I think there's a decent chance that Reed Sheppard comes back, but you know, NBA is probably going to call his name too. So I don't know.
The next two weeks,
he could be a legend. All I'm saying.
Yeah, he would. The next 2 weeks, I think you're going to find out a lot more because, you know, they're going into the portal and whatnot. And I think Mark, he's not even, Valerie, this is what's crazy to me. He's not even, you know, had a press conference yet, and he's already got people coming to visit in the portal. Like, that should tell you that he gives a lot of passion for this job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. What about, before we go, about his assistant coaches? Should he hire some more former players?
I think he should. I think he at least should hire one of them, in my opinion. Maybe Rondo.
I think he probably will. At least one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Former it's going to be exciting, man, this fall.
I think he will.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. I can't wait. I'd love to have you on again sometime. Maybe not this long. Mm-hmm. And I loved having you on. So,
thanks, guys. Go Big Blue. Go Big Blue. Go Cats.
C-A-T. Right. Thank you, Valerie. You guys have a good night. Go Big Blue.
Go Cats.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.